Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Okay, can magic mushrooms be as effective as conventional medicine for treating depression? A study from Imperial College London suggested that last week. But did you know that experiments like that are going on here in Ireland too? Well, on the line now is psychiatrist Dr. John Kelly, who has been working in this area. Dr. John Kelly, you're very welcome to the show.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. Now, firstly, what is the scientific name for magic mushrooms?
Psilocybin is the term for magic mushrooms, and psilocybin therapy is the usual term mm-hmm. for the modality which fuses the drug treatment with psychological support.
And just, they are illegal, aren't they, for use recreationally? Isn't that right?
They are illegal, yeah. They're Schedule 1, so they're illegal for recreational purposes. And in order to conduct these studies, there's a great deal of paperwork and, I would say, bureaucracy to get through to use these compounds in a clinical setting. And indeed, that is something that we should perhaps look at to make it easier for researchers to conduct these studies, to perhaps grant it medical treatment status.
Okay. So what can you tell us about the trials that are going on here in Ireland at the moment?
So the trials in Ireland are COMPASS trials, and they're looking at treatment-resistant depression. That's people who have failed to respond to at least two different antidepressants. And one of the trials, an 18-week trial, is looking at the optimal dose. So people would either get psilocybin 1 milligram or 10 or 25 once off. And this is all in the context of at least four preparatory sessions with the therapist and integration sessions after the dose, at least four, sometimes five, all in all, 18 weeks in that particular study.
Okay.
The other studies looking at 25 milligrams of psilocybin in addition to people staying on their SSRI.
Okay. Now, magic mushrooms are a powerful psychedelic drug. So there's a lot of screening patients undergo. You mentioned there is, you know, before and after. How much screening do they have prior, and what's involved in that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great deal of pre-screening even before the screening phase. So
right.
People who, yeah, there's a lot to it. And we do ask a lot of people, ask a lot of people. And people who have psychotic disorders or at risk of psychotic disorders or bipolar 1 and various other conditions, it wouldn't be suitable for them. It would potentially exacerbate their conditions. So hence the reason for the meticulous screening. And then after the screening process, and provided they are eligible and meet the rather stringent inclusion criteria, they would then progress on into the trial and these weekly visits up until the day that they get the psilocybin.
Yeah. Dr. Kelly, can I ask you, why did you start this work on people who are not responding to conventional medicine?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's a good question. And I think that I suppose it's probably in a relatively expensive modality. And I think the thought there was to look at this group first that haven't responded. So, and see, was there efficacy there? And then, of course, my hope is then to expand it out into other types of depression, but also other conditions as well. But this is the focus now at the moment. And you alluded to the Cohart-Harris study there, published in a top medical journal, New England Journal of Medicine, comparing psilocybin to SSRI, escitalopram, and showed that it was at least as good as escitalopram. Now, the problem with that study, they only had 59 participants with depression. And there wasn't really enough to show an effect, but there were some indications on certain outcomes that psilocybin therapy may have even been better than escitalopram.
Okay. Can we talk about the experience the patient undergoes? Now, are we talking about a guided trip here? I mean, what is the patient's experience from when they arrive for the treatment to when it's over?
Yeah, so after the weekly visits, they come in the day before the treatment, and then the day of the treatment, they come in at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's a psilocybin room dedicated to the experience. They lie down on a bed, they listen to music, they're encouraged to wear eye masks. The therapist is there, two therapists are there throughout the whole experience. There's a nurse nearby, I'm nearby in a different room, and they're encouraged really as much as possible to go with this experience, to experience this internal voyage or journey, and to... I guess openness is a big factor to it. I mean, that's hence the preparatory work to try to get people to be as open as possible, but not only open, to surrender to the experience. So they're the two big psychological factors which are really, really important for a potentially therapeutic experience. But there will be some people who have challenging experiences, but that leads to some potential for transformation. And that's where some of the therapy can come from, either that day and immediately, or in the weeks or even months. And some studies are even showing longer benefits, years. Some of the cancer studies have shown benefits up to 3 and 4 years in some people.
Wow. This is must be really exciting in the medical world.
Well, yeah, there's a great deal of excitement in this because you know, again, it sort of fuses the pharmacological, the drug end, and the psychological end. So it does have major potential to lead to benefits for the Irish mental health system in the future. Now, there are some steps to go through to get it there, to integrate it into the HSE, and I would say, guided by principles of common good and benefit for all, and that's important as well.
Absolutely. If this was approved in the future, how would it be prescribed, and how often would it be needed? Would you say it potentially would be a once-off, a once-a-month?
Well, that's an open question because we don't really know yet.
Okay.
I mean, most of the studies, I mean, that study we alluded to in New England Journal of Medicine was 225 milligram doses 3 weeks apart. And some other studies would use maximum of three. But that's all we know at the moment. We don't know the optimal dosing interval, if you like, and the safety of that. So could it be the case where it's administered for some people, you know, every year, we just don't know that, but it'll all depend on the individual person. So what I'd like also to see is this sort of precise, personalized approach to this type of therapy, and indeed to psychiatry therapies more generally. So it wouldn't be either or,
for example, the SSRIs.
And to try to fine tune the optimal treatment strategy for each individual.
Now, we're not trying to glamorise this at all. I mean, the sale of magic mushrooms, as we said, is illegal. So can I ask you, how do you feel about hallucinogenic being kind of trendy as a recreational drug?
Yeah, this is a problem, I think, with the so-called psychedelic renaissance, even though it's probably been going on for about 15 years in some places in the US. And a knock-on effect of that is that people are using more recreationally, and this can be a problem. Actually, some data from the Global Drug Survey, some worrying figures, a lot of people are using it for self-medication purposes. Of them, 4.2% sought out emergency medical treatment over the last 12 months, so that's a worrying figure, and 40% didn't undertake any preparatory work or integration work. So these are concerning figures, And that's not the direction really it should go in based on those figures.
Absolutely. I suppose the important part of this to remember is the screening is imperative and the follow-up therapy. Like you said, I mean, it might be straight away, it might be a year down the line, it might be 6 months down the line, but the follow-up therapy is so, so important. And it being hand in hand with this type of therapy or treatment. These kind of drugs, I mean, they've been used by people for thousands of years. So why is it only now that science is taking them seriously as a medicine?
Yeah, I suppose for various reasons, over-exuberance, politicization.
Money.
Money. Non-scientific ideology, a whole host of reasons. In the late 60s, early 70s, they were essentially banned. And then I suppose in 2000, 2006, the Griffith's lab in America started ramping things up again. There were other labs doing small pieces of work, but really that's when the trials got going again. And it's sort of, it's really escalated from there. And we're seeing more and more data coming in, and we'll continue to see more and more data with more people in the studies and more robust methodology. So we'll have better confidence in this treatment for the benefit of people with mental health disorders in society.
Yeah, we need that data. Can I ask you then your prediction for this treatment? I know it's an open-ended question really because you probably don't know, but if you were to predict the future of this treatment, what would you say or hope for?
What I would hope for, I'd hope for a couple of things. One thing, I'd like to see Irish funding agencies get behind this. You know, they haven't done so yet, and I would like to, I'd like them to do that. And then I suppose thereafter, I would like to see this integrated as a alternative treatment modality available to public psychiatry within some sort of HSE format. So it would be, you know, available to people who, you know, wouldn't necessarily have means to, say, private health insurance or money. So that would be important for all of us, I think.
And the goal, great. What other kind of conditions are being looked at for treatment with psychedelics?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's anorexia nervosa, there's cocaine addiction, alcohol addiction, smoking addiction, mild cognitive impairment with depressive symptoms, various types of headaches, migraines. A whole host of studies are ongoing, and many of which are in the States, but in various parts of Europe as well. So a whole range of, how shall I put it, non-psychotic mental health disorders. And I should say, there's even a study looking at bipolar 2 depression, which isn't the full-blown manic sort of depression, bipolar depression. And there's a study even looking at that type of disorder as well. So a lot to play out, and you'll find that it'll be a trans-diagnostic application of this modality.
So a really exciting time, and I wish you, Dr. John Kelly, the very best of luck with these trials. Hopefully we can talk to you in a couple of months maybe, and we might have an update or a year. When should we give you a call?
I can let you know, Jennifer. Don't worry.
Let us know. But listen, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Dr. John Kelly there. Now, we have to emphasise again that these are scientific trials of powerful compounds. They are illegal for recreational purposes, and we do not recommend self-medication. If you have any concerns or worries or questions, please speak to your GP. We'll be right back after this.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.